بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته ولا أمة بعد أمته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable brothers, friends in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. What's playing out in the global world and the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has truly created an opportunity for every one of us in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the building of Syria, the ceasefire in Gaza, inshallah it holds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant afiyah. This has created an opportunity for us as ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because in English they say one man's food is another man's poison. And they would say that one man's problem is another man's opportunity. So what the people of Gaza have been through, yes, this man-made famine, starvation, malnutrition, this has created an opportunity for us now to dig very deep down into our pockets and to help the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a narration, Sahaba radiallahu anhum is sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suddenly, as he sees a group approaching, فَتَمَعْرَ وَجْهُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes very pale in the face, worried and concerned. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum could see that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been pained by something. What is paining him, they don't know. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eventually goes, فَدَخَلَ فَخَرَجْ. He goes into the house, he comes out, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes and he says, Bilal, oh Bilal, give the adhan. Bilal radiallahu anhu gives the adhan. And then the message that the masjid was the focal point of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. If there was any message, then this message was given from the mimbar. So everyone used to be present. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately after the salah, he ascends the mimbar and he addresses Sahaba radiallahu anhum first by quoting some ayah of the Quran. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة and then يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged Sahaba radiallahu anhum to spend and to give sadaqah in the path of Allah. So when Sahabi comes and he comes with a big bag of dates, wheat, kajur, and every Sahabi would come with some form of charity and sadaqah. Some Sahaba radiallahu anhum would come with clothes. Whatever clothes they had, they would bring those clothes extra and they would present it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a Sahabi would come and he would have a handful of dates and he would present this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the munafiqun did not leave even this opportunity that they would rebuke and say, what are you coming with one kajur, a handful of kajur and dates? This is not going to make a difference. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Sahaba radiallahu anhum, اتَّقُوا النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمَرَى. Save yourselves from the fire of Jahannam, even if it be a piece of a kajur. A kajur is a full kajur and date. But even if you can only afford half by giving one piece of that kajur, and one you would eat for yourself, that also is appreciated in the courts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum gave sadaqah. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Sahaba radiallahu anhum by saying, see this group of believers that have just come in, they are in need and in want. And I could not tolerate, it was just not within my capacity to can't continue as normal, seeing the pitiable condition of this group of people. When Sahaba radiallahu anhum gave sadaqah, and they were viewed between that group, now Sahaba radiallahu anhum say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is all smiles, ka'annahu mudhiba. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now is like a piece of gold, ka'annahu madhaba, a piece of gold. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is smiling, all smiles. Why? Those Sahaba who did not have, or those Muslims did not have, now when they have, it makes me happy that they have. That we need to be and make an effort that I must be the beacon of light in someone else's darkness. When someone is down, I need to think to myself, how can I be of some betterment to him? How can I pick up his life? Is there anything that I can do to put a smile on the face of that Muslim brother? What can I do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hadith appears in Tirmizi Sharif, that لما خلق الله تعالى الأرض جعل التميد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the earth, and the earth started shaking. When the earth started shaking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mountains for stability on earth. So فعجبت الملائكة من شدة الجبال. The angels were taken aback. They said, oh my Allah, you've created such a strong creation, these mountains, that the earth gains stability because of the mountains. So the angels ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هَلْ مِنْ خَلْقِكَ شَيْءٍ أَشَدْ مِنَ الْجَبَلِ. From your creation, is there anything that's stronger than the mountains? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نعم الحديد. Stronger than the mountain is iron, is steel, that man will use the steel to cut through the mountain. So the angel said, MashaAllah, so steel and iron is more stronger. هَلْ مِنْ خَلْقِكَ شَيْءٍ أَشَدْ مِنَ الْحَدِيدِ. If from your creation, is there anything stronger than iron and steel? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَعَمْ النَّار. It's the fire. Fire will be used to mold the shape of steel. You say, Allahu Akbar. Anything stronger than fire? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَعَمْ. Stronger than fire is water. So the water will extinguish the fire. Oh my Allah, you've created the mountain, stronger than that was steel, stronger than that was fire, and stronger than that was water. Anything stronger? Oh my angels, yes. And that is the winds. The winds will channel the direction of the flow of water. So now they're really amazed. Ya Allah, you have created such amazing creations that one is stronger than the next. Anything stronger than the wind, anything stronger than the water, stronger than the fire, stronger than the steel, stronger than the mountain, stronger than earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, there is one more thing, just one more. Ibn Adam, when my banda has to give sadaqah in the path of Allah, that's stronger than all these elements. But he gives it in such a manner that the right hand, the left hand doesn't know where the right hand has spent. He gives it with total sincerity, with ikhlas, and he gives it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a very great power and tool that insan has. One person, youngster, he passed away, and alhamdulillah, whatever was his death, he had a good death. His janazah was well attended. But one of his friends had a dream about him, and the dream was also good. So on inquiry, asked the mother and the father, what good your son had that people are having a dream? Because the mother was worried, my son passed away, how is he in Akhirah? He's a young boy, is he okay, is he fine? And the friend in another country has a dream, and the voice is telling that friend, please phone the mother of your friend and tell her, please stop crying, he is well by me, I'm taking care of him. So this first day the friend has the dream, he says, adghath wa ahlam, perhaps it's not the right, something wrong in this dream, and he left it. But the second night consecutive he has this dream, he says, Allah is giving me a message, I have to pass it on. So he phones the mother, and he tells the mother, this is the message and of the dream, message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she's a little bit collected, she smiles, and she's happy about it. So people ask the parents, like, what was the good quality of your son? He said, the son, if you asked him for something and you were in need, he would give it to you and he would sacrifice. So one day he was with a team of people, they were cooking food, preparing hot meals and distributing. And a person of need was also amongst them helping. And that person just mentioned to the son and said that your truck suit looks very nice. That's all. Your truck suit looks very nice. So he told that person, do me a favor, just help in the spot, I'm coming now. He says, did I offend you? No, no, you haven't offended me, I'm just coming now. So that person started stirring and helping at the pot. This boy goes, he takes out his tracksuit, he puts on his kurta, tracksuit in the packet, comes to the person, he says, this is for you. Since you liked it and you are in need, this is for you. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha, and the Azwaji Mutahharat, they were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Azwaji Mutahharat asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that ayyuna asra'u luhukan bik. Amongst the Azwaji Mutahharat, which one of us will be the quickest to pass away and to meet up with you in Akhirah? Which one of us would be the quickest to meet up with you on the after death? So Nabi Sam gave a very brief answer. And he says, أَطْوَلُ كُنَّ يَدًا, that wife amongst you who's got a tall hand. So the Azwaji Mutahharat all would walk, put their hands on the wall and measure each person, each lady's hand to see whose hand was the longest. So eventually they would take sticks, they would use different mechanisms and tools to see who's got the longest hands. They realized that the longest hands was Sauda radiallahu anha. Her hands were the longest hands. So sahaba, the Azwaji Mutahharat are thinking to themselves, Sauda is going to be the first one to pass away after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She would be the first fortunate amongst the Azwaji Mutahharat to meet up with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the next realm, in the next life. 9 years later, the first amongst the Azwaj-e Mutahhara to pass away was none other than Zainab bint Jahash. So the Sahabiyat and the Azwaj-e Mutahharat went back to that statement of Nabi Sam, أَطْوَلُ كُنَّ يَدًا, we measured, it was Sauda, it wasn't Zainab. But on re-pondering over these words, Sahaba radiallahu anhum Azwaji Mutahharat realized a tall hand does not mean the physical length. It means the strength of digging deep into your pockets, in English you will say. Dig deep into your pockets to spend. So Zainab radiallahu anha was the one who used to spend a lot. Aisha radiallahu anha herself says, if there was a lady that I envied amongst the Azwaji Mutahharat, was Zainab for her quality of spending. She had this quality of generosity, very big-hearted, just wants to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zainab radiallahu anha, in one of the expeditions, Money came in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. It's collected and they're distributing and giving everyone who was had a share in it. Azwaji Mutahharat also had a share because of Madul Fay and other reasons. And from the Khumus. So they brought the share to Zainab radiallahu anha. It was a few hundred golden coins. So she called the slave girl and she said, see, 5 or 7, give it to so and so poor person in Madina Tayyiba. Slave came back, put another 5 to 7, packaged it and said, give it to so and so, a poor person in Madina Tayyiba. Eventually there was just a few coins left. And she did a calculation. She said, this would be sufficient and enough for my expenses till the next payout. And that's all I require. And she says, give this. At times, Zainab radiallahu anha would have nothing. She would have no money with her. Yet, she was sana'atan bil yad. She would sew, dye clothes, make something, and she would use that as an opportunity to give sadaqah, not to earn. If we look at ourselves, we've become so self-censored. Everything is about me, myself, and I. We forgot about the creation of Allah and the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yet we look at our ibadah. Every one of us could have been performing Jummah Salah wherever we were. Whether it was in our businesses, in our homes, we could have had a good meal, whether we're from school, wherever it is, read your Jummah Salah at your own. But why did we sacrifice to come to the masjid? Because it's about togetherness. It's about unity. It's about us. It's about the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, we've come to the masjid. See, alhamdulillah, new carpets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the people who are responsible for this. And we are enjoying some soft carpets. But let us be cognizant of the respect of this masjid. And be careful to make sure we don't do anything haram while we're in the masjid. As much as possible, we don't make ghiba in the masjid. We don't do wrong. And as far as possible, if there's one thing we need to make sure we always got away, is our phones. In the masjid, no, that shouldn't be on. Yes, there are a lot of Qurans in the masjid. We can take the Quran, you want to recite Quran. You want to make tasbih, you take your tasbih. But not to use the phone as much as possible. Sometimes involuntary, some picture will come and yet you are sitting in the house of Allah. Involuntary. Perhaps it's a screensaver, perhaps it's something that's running in the background. It's someone else's profile picture. It's someone's status. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. We respect the masjid as much as possible. But this point of sadaqah, of giving, wherever we can to uplift the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we rise by lifting others. Wherever we can do for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should try and do. Person from Durban passed away. From out the community. So the janazah salah notice was out. You must have heard it before. But that message is so important for us. So when the notice was given, salatul janazah is a certain time. It wasn't the time of any salah. It was like an in-between time. So generally we would calculate, you know, 5 to 7 minutes before you're safe. You would definitely get the salatul janazah. So as per normal routine, we are coming 5 to 7 minutes before. There's no parking on the street of the masjid to get close to the masjid. The walk is going to be at least another 5 minute walk to get to the masjid. Come to the masjid. It's just 1 or 2 minutes before. There's no place in the masjid. The person who passed away is no alim, he's no qari, he's not a great person. He was an ordinary businessman of society. There's no place in the masjid. Announcement is, brothers, please try and come closer. Please form your sufuf. We can't sit. And out of the masjid, the sufuf are overflowing. After the salatul janazah, 1 or 2 days later, A day later, went to the house, sat with the children, the son spoke with them. What was the secret behind the attendance of your father's janazah? He says, my father was an ordinary businessman, but if anyone came to him and they needed something from his shop and they could not afford it, it was a dire need, he would say, see brother, because you're a Muslim and I am a Muslim, Allah is a witness, you take it, you pay me how much you can. Whatever you can, you write it down. But he would trust that person, whoever it may be. He wouldn't ask for passport, ID, nothing. He says, see, you are in need of this medication. Without the medication, you're going to be in pain. Take the medication, pay me how much you can. So how much do you have now? He says, so much, no problem. Whenever you can pay, you pay. And you pay it. And he would do this. And subhanallah, for his janazah, the amount of foreign brothers we saw crying, we never saw in any janazah, even children crying so much. Everyone is tearing. And the person who was standing next to me for the salatul janazah is picking up his hands after the janazah. Allahumma adkhilhul jannah. Ya Allah, put him in jannah. Ya Allah, put a smile on his face, for he put a smile on our face in the dunya. When he was alive, he made a smile. In the qabr, make him smile. Ya Allah, he took care of us. Ya Allah, you take care of him. Now we want to earn the du'as of people. South Africans will call it Ubuntu. That I am because we are. And the world will call it philanthropy. That we spend on others. But as ummatis of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is the well-being of the next Muslim brother. Ukhuwa. That as an ummah, we are together, we are joined and underpinned by this brotherhood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability that in whichever way we can help in our society, in our community, in our masajid, in our South Africa, in the whole world, wherever I can be a means of difference for someone else's life, sadaqah, helping, doing something, then this is one of the greatest ways of becoming the close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna asra ad-du'a'i ijabatan da'watu ghaibin lighaib. One of the most powerful and fastest du'as to be accepted is when you make du'a for your Muslim brother in his absence. He doesn't even know about it. And you make du'a for him. The moment you make du'a, the angel says, walaka bimithli. Allah give you the same. Now we getting the du'as of the angels by having at heart the well-being of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Muslim brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq in this age when there would be collections for our masjid, collections for our locality, collections for our province, collections for South Africa, whatever be any problem in the world, wherever it may be. But we start local, but we have to think global and try and help wherever we can the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.